We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 to begin with this morning. And as usual, we will be looking at several verses of Scripture other than this. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 is a familiar passage of Scripture to all of us, I believe. And yet, it is a most powerful Scripture. And the more that I consider it and think about it, the more wonderful it seems to me, but also the necessity of it becomes more and more ingrained in my mind and in my heart and soul. And the verse simply reads, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved." Now the question this morning is, have you considered this truth this morning? During the week coming up to this point, have you considered this truth, especially as it is seen in the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? We announced last week that we would be observing the Lord's Supper today. When we found out that JT and Betty were not going to be here, it was tempting to say, well, let's postpone it. But as we had already announced it, we believe that we were also preparing for it. One of the greatest ways that we can prepare for the Lord's Supper is to consider His broken body and His shed blood. And ultimately and essentially, that is exactly what is being said here when it said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Have you considered then this truth? Say, well, I knew that, and I've known that for a long time, and I know that's the way that I was saved is by the name of Jesus. Well, but have you considered it? You see, we're not just saved and then forgotten about. And that salvation doesn't come and then we can forget about the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, it's just the opposite, isn't it? That we are saved that we might continually consider the very source, the fountain of our salvation. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can never think of Christ and without considering to some degree that His body was broken and that His blood was shed. Well, this morning and this afternoon, too, we're going to be looking at this and we're going to be considering some of the aspects of the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For if you have considered this truth, then you will also consider these things: the love that's in that sacrifice, the mercy that is in that sacrifice, the beauty of that sacrifice, the glory of that sacrifice, the power of that sacrifice, the efficacy of that sacrifice. And then if you consider these six things that we find in the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you consider those six things, then you will also consider the joy, the peace, right? The wonder, And finally, it will lead you to consider the fullness of the justification. And then it will lead you also to consider that there's no wonder that we are sanctified unto the Master's use. Amen. All right. Then let us consider the love that is in the shedding of the blood of Christ and in His broken body. Someone might wonder, why isn't the broken body of Christ mentioned as often as the shedding of the blood is mentioned? But my answer is simply this, that in the mentioning of the thinking of the shedding of the blood of Christ, how can you not think of the broken body? Because it was the broken body from which flowed the blood of Christ. And so every time or any time that the blood of Christ, the shedding of the blood of Christ is mentioned, the breaking of the body is also implied. And so we do not necessarily always have to mention the breaking of His body, the broken body, but we think of it anyway and we rejoice in it, because it must be that the body was broken as well as this blood shed. But anyway, what we want to do this morning is consider then the love. Oh, what love there was in the breaking of that body and the shedding of that blood. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 1. We're going to be reading there verse 5. Which says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us." How many times do we hear that in the Bible? "Unto him that loved us." And how do we know that he loved us? It says, "And washed us from our sins in His own blood." I believe it's in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John that He says, "Greater love hath no man than that he give his life," or lay down his life, "for his friends." Jesus certainly laid down His life. But you know, it's one thing to lay down your life for a friend, but it's another thing to lay down your life for who is, at least for the time being, your enemy. And so go with me also to Romans chapter 5. What a wonderful passage of Scripture this is to show and illustrate and demonstrate the love of God towards us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, these are not passages of Scripture that are unfamiliar to us, but they're very familiar to us. We know them, and we're glad of them. We rejoice in them. And that's what we want to do today, is to rejoice in them. This is a day of rejoicing as we remember the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior in a special way. But as we read these passages, verse 7. Well, let's begin with verse 6. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for" who? "The ungodly." Can you imagine that? But you see, this is the love that God has towards us in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the love that God had toward us from before the foundation of the world. died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can you imagine a greater love than this? Than that God, the holy, righteous, just one, who cannot even be tempted with sin, much less committed, that this one would love us, who are just the opposite of that, who in our natural being can do nothing but sin. In the flesh, we can do nothing but that which is opposed to God. As He says here, the ungodly, the sinner. But not only is there no greater love than this, but He's the only one that can love like this. Outside of the Spirit of Christ, who can love His enemy? And let us consider the love that is in the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let us consider the mercy. The mercy. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, verses 5 through 7 reads as follows. Not by works of righteousness. How can anybody really believe that they can be saved by works? How can anybody really believe that they can be saved by their own merit? And how can anybody worship God? How can anybody partake of the Lord's Supper, which teaches us of the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? How can they do this and still believe in some merit of their own? Only because of depravity. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And when did He shed that upon us? When He shed His blood, right? It is through the shedding of His blood that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. What mercy there is in the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we were not righteous. Not by works of righteousness. The wrath of God was upon us, even as it was upon others, until the blood was shed, the body was broken, and the Spirit gave us regeneration. Now, someone might argue, and we might say, well, but we were elect from the foundation of the world. But let me remind you, as all of you that are saved, if you are saved, you know this perfectly well, that as far as you were concerned, and as far as you knew, until the regenerating power of the Spirit did its work in you, the wrath of God was upon you. Brother E.W. Johnson used to talk about prevenient grace. And certainly it is so. And what did he mean by that? He meant that until the regenerating work by the power of the Holy Ghost came upon you, yes, God knew where you were. And he knew what you were doing. And he was not going to allow you to perish before that electing grace had its proper work. But the mercy, do you understand the mercy? Have you considered the mercy that is made a reveal unto us in the body, the broken body, and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Consider the mercy that is in the broken body, the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one thing leads us to another, doesn't it? Have you considered the beauty? Oh, is it a beautiful thing to you? Is there anything more beautiful? And we're told in Isaiah chapter 53 that and when he shall appear, he will have no beauty. There's no comeliness that we should desire him. But it's talking about what? That outward. But oh, there is everything about him that is lovely, that is beautiful. Last week, Brother Jerry referred to JT talking about the will of God, and JT mentioned that those verses, or that verse in Exodus, where God says, I am. Tell them that I am. Well, one of God's I ams is beauty. It's loveliness. God is love, right? But God is also beauty. Let us worship God in the beauty of holiness, right? Have we considered the beauty, though, that is in the shed blood, the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ? For, folks, there is, again, no higher beauty. It may seem gruesome to some people. And I've heard that said in the past. Well, you know, who wants to talk about shedding blood? But we do. It is our greatest joy. It's the most beautiful expression, again, of love and mercy that ever was. Let's go back to the Psalm in chapter 27 of the Psalm. Verses 4 and 5 reads like this: One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold what? The beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. But here's the thing. This is the one thing that I desire, is to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and to behold the beauty of the Lord. What do I need to add to that? Does that speak to your soul this morning? Is that you? And as you have considered and do consider the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord. Is that a beautiful sight to your eyes of faith? Isaiah chapter 61 in verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them what? Beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. But to give unto them that mourn, blessed are they that mourn. Why? Why is that a blessing? For we shall be comforted. Why is it a blessing? Because God will give unto us beauty for ashes. Which would you rather have? A pile of ashes? Or would you rather have the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? What is He speaking of here? One of the things I think that He's speaking of here is referring to the burning of the sacrifices. And was that a beautiful thing? I believe it was. I believe those Old Testament sacrifices carried out in the Spirit of the Lord, I think it was a beautiful service. I believe those ashes that remained from those burnt sacrifices, I believe there was a beauty to them. But not according to the beauty that is in the broken body of Christ and the shed blood. Because if that beauty were even the same, then that beauty would have remained. But it didn't, did it? It couldn't. Because not only was that beauty not the same, but it was nothing in compared to what the Lord did in His broken body and in the shedding of His blood. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 illustrates this, demonstrates this, it proves it. Verse 7, but if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be what? Done away. How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that does what? Excelleth. The glory that excelleth. The beauty is in the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But have you considered the beauty that's in the broken body and the shed blood? Have you considered the glory? You know, really, in reality, you cannot speak of one of these things without speaking of the other. On Tuesday evenings, we have been studying much about the attributes of God, the characteristics of God, and the will of God. And we have concluded, have we not, Brother Jerry, that we can't speak of one attribute of God without speaking of them all. We cannot speak about God except to speak of Him in His entirety and the whole of God. We cannot preach the Word of God without preaching what? The whole counsel. If we do not, then we fail in that. But as we consider the love, the mercy, the beauty, as we consider the glory of God, how can we speak of one without speaking of the other? But let us consider the glory. The first verse that a scripture that comes to my mind when I think about the glory of the cross of Christ, and that's, again, when we speak of the cross of Christ, what are we speaking of? It's just a condensed way, a short way of saying the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. It could always convey that thought. If it doesn't convey that thought, then we've missed the whole thing. But the first verse that comes to my mind is, Brother Jerry, Galatians chapter 6. Brother Jerry admonished us. He encouraged us to read the 6th chapter of Galatians along with the 8th chapter of 2 Corinthians. I think that's a good idea. In Galatians chapter 6, in verse 14, the apostle says, "But God forbid that I should glory." What do you have to glory in? Save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. But why should we glory in the cross? Sister Joyce, why should we glory in the cross? What does he say?
Because where Christ gave his life, willingly fought.
That's right. It's not in the physical cross that we glory, is it? But it's in the broken body and the shed blood of Christ that was effected by that cross. But by that cross, by the shedding of that blood and the breaking of his body, there was something happened. There was something happened for us. It happened for me. It happened for you as one of the Lord's elect people. And what was it? "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom?" What happened? "The world is crucified unto me, and I am crucified unto the world." There was something wonderful, there was something glorious happened there on that day and in that hour when the body of Christ was broken and the blood flowed out. In that hour when he said, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And literally, again, we won't debate whether the scripture is figurative or literal or whatever. But let me just say that literally what happened on that day, in that hour, was that God was, first of all, glorified in a way that can never be more glorious. It is an amazing thing. For instance, in chapter 17 of John, it says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come." Right? And what is that hour? "Glorify thy Son." What hour was he speaking of? He was speaking of his crucifixion. The hour when his body was going to be broken and His blood was going to be shed. Now, folks, that hadn't happened up to this point. They had wanted to. The people had wanted to, especially the scribes and the Pharisees and the rulers, they had wanted to. But they couldn't, could they? Why? Why couldn't they? Because his hour had not yet come. Do you see how much God is in control? Do you understand in this even the sovereignty of God in His electing grace? But glorify thy Son. But why? That thy Son may glorify thee. We've already spoken of this earlier, have we not? From glory to glory. But why? Why is God going to, as it were, glorify us? For the same reason He's going to glorify His Son. But how is God going to be glorified in you? Well, in a real sense, He is going to be glorified in your broken body and your shed blood. Now, again, literally, that may never happen. You may never hang on a cross, literally. But let me tell you that you will hang on the cross, spiritually speaking. You will fill up the sufferings of Christ. You will not get out of this world without bearing the cross of Christ. But you know why people shun the bearing of the cross of Christ? For one reason. It's because that the broken body and the shed blood of Christ Himself is not glorious to them. Is it glorious to me? Is it glorious to you? If it is, then we will take up that cross and follow Jesus. Romans chapter 6 and verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from what? From sin. As Peter would put it, for he that has suffered in the flesh, what has he done? He has ceased from sin. In the broken body and the shed blood of Christ, the justice of God was satisfied for all those for whom He was given. Is that glorious? If I would glory. You know that there are things and there are times when I would like to glory in something besides that, but I'm always reminded that there is no glory outside of this glory. It's the only glory. The broken body and the shed blood of the Lord. Can't help but think about Brother Barney Bryant at this point. Well, glory! That ought to make us want to shout when we think about this broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you considered the love, the mercy, the beauty, the glory? Have you considered the power? There is power. Acts chapter 20. We've already spoken of that power in the glory, haven't we? By whom the world was crucified unto me, and I unto the world. The power of the shedding of the blood of Christ. It cleanses us from all of our sin, doesn't it? The gospel of the kingdom. Paul says in verse 26, he says, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." There is power in the broken body and the shedding of the blood of Christ. It is the power to save the elect of God, but it is also the power of condemnation to the rest of the whole world. We won't turn over there right now, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the apostle speaks there of the savor of the gospel. It is both the savor of what? Life unto life, but it's also the savor of death unto death. You see, those for whom the blood was not shed, it has the power to condemn. But why? It's because that knowing the truth of God, what happens? They love darkness. And it's argued by some today that is there sufficiency in the blood of Christ to save all men? That's a difficult question in some respects. In some respects, we can say with assurance that if the blood of Christ was shed for you, and we can say that for all whom the blood of Christ was shed, they will be saved. Without question. To say anything, to think any other thought than that is to bring dishonor. It is to deny the glory of God. But had the names of all the people of the world been written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world, would the shedding of the blood of Christ, the breaking of His body, would it have been sufficient? And I say yes. The question is not the sufficiency so much of the broken body and the shed blood of Christ as it is the will of God in it. There is power. There is saving power in the broken body of Christ and the shed of His blood. There is all-sufficient power. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Who is this that He's talking to here? You see, we have to understand this to really understand the power that's in the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. those that were made nigh, that one time were far off, and you know, that doesn't properly express it, does it? Because those that were far off, how far off were they? Well, that is explained to us in verse 12, that at that time ye were without Christ. And not only were you without Christ, but you were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. And not only were you aliens from the commonwealth, but you were strangers from the covenants of promise. And you had no hope. And were without God in the world. I was sought of them, Brother Jerry. That did what? It wasn't what they did, it was what they didn't do, right? I was sought of them that asked not for me. I was found of them that sought me not. How is that possible? It's only possible, it was made possible only by the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There still is salvation in any other. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. At that time, that's where we were. But now, aren't you glad of that word? Now. In Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. It's always by the blood. And implied in that, again, is also the broken body. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. Who being the brightness of His glory. Well, we already talked about that glory, didn't we? And the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself, get that, when He had by Himself purged our sins. How did He purge them? By the broken body and the shedding of His blood. He had purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. There is power in the blood. There is power in the blood. There is no power except in the precious blood of the Lamb. I can do nothing. As Jesus said, ye can do nothing except ye abide in me and I in you. But on the other hand, I can do all things through Jesus. Right? There is power in the blood. Consider then the love, the mercy, the beauty, the glory, the power, and the efficacy. What in the world is efficacy? Well, it is. It is the effects of that power. It is the effects of all of those things that went before to draw you and me unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of, not in, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Oh, but it is the blood of Christ that came through His broken body that drew us. And if I be lifted up, what's going to happen? I'm going to draw all to me. Yea, and all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And he that cometh, I will in no wise cast out. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And what happens? The blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The drawing. Oh, listen, if we have considered the love, the mercy, the beauty, the glory, the power that's in the shedding of the blood of Christ that came through His broken body, then how can we not come to the Savior? It's impossible. It's only those who do not consider this that are lost, that will not consider it, that are lost. But all those that are made to look closely, to behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, cannot help but come. That's what we will be celebrating this evening. In this afternoon service, we will be celebrating this broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.